Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Wow. You're meaner to me than I realized.
Only when appropriate.
Only when required. I understand. All right. We're going to talk about something serious and somber at the start. Then we're going to get to your team and get to some nonsense. But the news has broken today that a young man, Weston Paskowitz, family has announced on their Caring Bridge site that Weston passed away peacefully last night. And part of the reason why I'm bringing this up with you is your organization a couple weeks back, because Weston is such a passionate fan of the Wild, you guys open up the doors in every possible way to Weston, including you in greeting him and signing him to a contract and being a part of practice and meeting the players and Marc-Andre Fleury playing a practical joke with Weston as an active participant on Kirill. And I tweeted out some earlier, and, you know, we're both parents and you don't have to be parents, but life is many things, Billy. It can be amazing. It can be remarkable. And at times it's callous, cruel, and unfair. And I am not suggesting in any way I knew Weston, but when a young man like this dies so soon, it is just devastating. And I know you would want to say something and also would want to say about your interaction with Weston and the family a couple weeks ago.
It is. Honestly, it is devastating news. And, there are really no words. And when you see it, you know, that just shouldn't happen. And his mom and dad, and, you know, he's got a little brother and sister, but the parents are just, when they were in a couple weeks ago, they always just set a smile on their face, and the courage that they showed. And, the poor little guy, he's just going through so much, and it's heartbreaking news. But our guys really gravitated towards him, and, it was a nice connection, and we were happy to do what we did. But our heart goes out to that family and that poor little guy. And, we're all just thinking about him today and praying for him.
Yeah, we, the two of us, have a very good friend who we kid a lot. But he and his wife lost their beautiful son years ago at a very young age, too. And I was privileged enough to be such a great friend and seeing how Pam and Ryan handled that, and with Blake passing, and there's just too many stories that way. You know, there's too often when that happens, and the words are just not right. The empathy and kindness is sometimes what we need to offer, but none of us should watch a son or a daughter pass away as early as our friends saw someone, and also as Weston did.
Yeah, I agree. And that's, you know what, honestly, that's why, you know what, hug your kids, tell them you love them. You know what, anybody in your family, just, that's why it's so important. Stay connected and tell people that you love them, because you don't know when it can, you know, turn and exactly, go the other way. So, whether it's a child or a grandparent or whatever, just make sure you're staying connected to people, and don't be afraid to tell people that you love them if you do.
Exactly. And I was fighting off tears when I was thinking about Pam Ronigan. Blake is still with us. It's Grant. It's their son, Grant, who passed away.
Yeah,
because Blake is still here, and he's just a great kid, and thankfully. All right, there's no easy transition, but let's switch to your team and just don't forget, hug your friends, reach out to them, and especially your kids. From the point we last chatted a few weeks back to now, you're playing the type of hockey you want to play. Why is that happening? What are the top keys why the record is as strong as it is, 6-1-1 the last 8 games?
Well, I think we got to our identity. I mean, you know what? And we had – before we had players, we had how am I going to say this? We had guys who are not normally playmakers trying to be playmakers, and our star players weren't – they were trying to be a little too cute and not playing as hard as they had to play to be successful. And they've changed that. And we're getting very good goaltending.
On the player's side, when guys know their strengths, and I get it, a lot of times this happens because the competition puts you in positions where you shouldn't be, and none of us are flawless, but in your sport and other sports, as someone who played at a very, very high level, and I'm sure there were times when your coach or your various coaches told you the same things, why do players sometimes break character, like you're alluding to with your guys earlier in the year?
You know, it's tough. Like, you know what, especially when you play, you know, so many games in so little time, some nights it's hard to get to that level, to get to that intensity because of, you know, the schedule or this or that, or you know, you could just be beat up. But that's what your job is. That's what you're being paid to do, so we expect you to get there. But you know what? The one thing is, like, everybody likes to make plays. Everybody wants to, you know, make the pretty saucer pass or the behind the back. We all wanted to do that. I would get, like, me personally as a player, I would get in so much trouble or put myself in so much trouble with the coaches trying to do crap like that because that was not in my wheelhouse. From time to time, yeah, anybody can do it, but, like, you have to play to your strengths. You know, I always think of Marcus Foligno, and I always give him you-know-what, but, like, I tell him, Marcus, playing straight lines. You are a big physical. To the corner, bang bodies, get to the net, stay in front. That's your game. When you start doing spinoramas, we're in trouble. Kirill, same thing. No-look passes, spinoramas. I don't care who you are. Blind plays don't work. Hold on to the puck. Play a physical offense. And you know what? I know you're our star player, but you got to hit a guy or two too as well. To me, what was going on at the beginning of the year, it was all a mindset and a lack of competitiveness. And we've gone in the right direction to fix that.
Was there one loss? Was there one practice? Was there a meeting? Or was there one win when you felt like you kind of kick-started all this and headed in the right way you've been playing here the last couple weeks, just even longer than that, about 3 weeks?
Yeah, I don't know what the tipping point was, but, I mean, it was I know the players had a players-only meeting, and that's great. I appreciate that. I know the coaches had been, you know, trying to send, you know, give the guys the information they needed till they were blue in the face. But I don't know when it clicked. But I think they were finally fed up. And I'm sorry, it just the other way doesn't work. And it's not just for us; it doesn't work for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you play, you know, pond hockey out there and you're trying to be fancy and you're trying to make plays and feel good and all this, that's loser hockey. You have to show up ready to play to your identity as an individual and the identity as a team and compete your ass off. I don't expect a perfect game every night. I don't expect a perfect game, period, because there's no such thing. I don't expect a perfect game from players each and every night. Mistakes are always made, always, and I can live with that. And I can live with some losses as long as we are competing. There is no room for not competing. And look, I know our guys care. I know they work hard. But you have to really compete. And then we'll take the result.
This is the president of hockey operations for the Minnesota Wild, Bill Guerin. His club back in action tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes at Grand Casino Arena. More on the team, the injuries, and the outstanding goaltending among the topics we'll discuss next with Billy in moments on CCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Continuing with the man in charge of the Minnesota Wild on the hockey side, Bill Guerin. I get this. I certainly lived it when I was calling Wolves games. And I understand it more in the playoffs. And I get TV. But there still is some silly billy about an 8:55 start Wednesday. It's a 9:55 start in Carolina. And last time I checked, this is a central time zone. It's just, I mean, a 9 o'clock start regular season, no. We have to accept that in the playoffs when you want maximum exposure. I just think this is the wrong path for me in the regular season.
I don't love it either, but this is the way things are. I mean,
yep.
It's the business. And you know what? The business is good. This is the way it is. And you know what? Nothing you say or do is going to change it, so you got to accept it and just live with it.
Wallstedt has been really, really good of late. And I get the learning process, the maturing process. And I remember the two of us going back and forth about 3 years ago when you kept telling me it's going to take time for him. And I'm like, wait a second, he's rated the number one goalie in the minors. You're going to see him up here soon. And he had some moments in the minors the last couple of years where it wasn't pretty. And right now he's locked in and playing great. I know you defer a lot on goaltending to others who know it well, but you still know the game when you're seeing him playing at a level with the multiple shutouts and facing down tough quality teams. What is the discernible area where he's improved the most in his game?
Well, I think is over the last couple of years his condition. Wait, are you saying that you actually think I might know what I'm talking about?
Not really. I mean, I had to kind of build.
It sounded.
I'm hearing
like
that.
That's what it was.
I kind of had to build you up. I mean,
okay, we can move past.
I call Bob Mason.
He was
unavailable.
I don't know why, but I know you record these shows.
Yeah.
So as long as we have that,
I don't listen to your part. Just my part.
Great. So I think his conditioning has been a big part of it. And
shouldn't that have been an automatic all the time?
Yeah, but it's not because, I mean, these guys, even though they're you know, high-end athletes, they're drafted in the first round, they're still young. They're still trying to figure out their life. They're still trying to figure out what it's like to be a pro or what it means to be a pro. So that takes a while. Or it can. You know, some guys get it earlier than others. So, and then, you know, I don't think we did him any favors last year by possibly carrying three goalies at the start. He had his heart set on being in Minnesota, then kind of went up and down. And, you know, then he, you know, it just no consistency. So I think the consistency in his life right now with being here and knowing he's going to be here has really helped his confidence and just kind of quieted the noise in his brain.
I get that every team in sports, they end up with injuries. And I don't have all the data in front of me right now, but clearly I pay the most attention to your club. And this is now the third straight year where it feels like you get injury after injury. There are certain clubs that analyze that to death, and they say it's just we got to make some, you know, fire staff. Some say this is just a part of it. When you look what has happened this year in the last couple of years, what is your analysis on this? Do you think it's dramatically different from other teams? Do you think we spend too much time on it because we concentrate on your team? Because, again, you're without some key players coming up for a game tonight against a very good team.
Yeah, I honestly can't explain it. I know what's going on through the league. I mean, I was watching the Maple Leafs Blues game last night, and the Maple Leafs have, like, they're five guys out of the lineup. And, like, it's the schedule's insane. It's all over the league. But, you know, for us, yeah, you're right. It's frustrating as hell because, you know what, one guy comes back, another guy goes out. And they're legit things. Like, Marco Rossi gets, you know, blasted with a shot in Philadelphia. And you know, he plays for 3 weeks on a fractured, you know, foot. Like, and then the fracture finally shows up in the scan. Like, mm-hmm. That's nobody's fault. I wonder when all this shot blocking started coming into the league, because it's ridiculous. Guys all over the league, they're dropping like flies because we insist that they block shots.
Okay, so let me stop in. What would you do? I mean, what do you want, John?
There's no turning back.
Yeah.
Like, that's just part of the game.
Yeah,
and it's expected, it's demanded, it's part of it. They get it, but yeah, then there are injuries that come with it, and we can't. You know, and people say, you know, like I heard you say, change staff or this. The staff's not out there shooting pucks at these guys.
Yeah,
they're trying to put them back out on the ice, like. It's not a staff issue.
I'm with you 100%.
I get mad at that. Like when like coaches or managers would go and yell at the trainers because guys are getting – they're not injuring the guys. They're trying to make them better. They're trying to bring them to health. That makes no sense to yell at trainers and things like that. All they're trying to do is help.
It's scapegoating is what it is, right?
I mean,
to be honest, teams in this town have done it, and bravo to you for not doing that. Okay. Who is who's closest among your injured players to coming back?
I think Bogo.
Okay.
Bogo and Sturmey are close.
Okay. Let's talk about Yurov, who is still a kid, who's been in and out of your lineup, and tonight he's going to line up and he's going to have Kirill and Zuccarello with him. How is he prepared to handle that?
I think he's prepared. I mean, you know what? He's a pretty mature kid. He's been playing pro hockey. I mean, it's always a little nerve-wracking going and playing with the big guys. But I think the Russian connection could really help him. We'll see. You know what? I hope he. Hey, these are the opportunities that you just hope young players jump at. Like. A bunch of injuries. Okay, you're getting your chance to play with, like, two top players. Like, take this opportunity and run. Like, do something with it, please. Like, that's what we want. We beg for that.
You're a fourth of the way through the season here. Tell me what you think about Zeev and how he's played, what's working, and where he needs to tighten some things up.
Well, I think he's figuring it out. I think we gave him maybe a little too much at the beginning, pulled him back, took him off the first power play unit, let him concentrate on simplifying his game and playing 5-on-5. Now he's getting the power play stuff back. I think he has done a much better job of simplifying his game with as to, like, there becomes a point of no return sometimes when you're getting pressured and you have the puck on your stick and there's just no play to be had. Just get it out. Just start over again. Where I think a couple weeks ago he would have tried to make a play or an escape or something like that. I think he's kind of figured that out, that part out. You know, he's still pretty dynamic offensively. I'm really happy with the way he's come along. And, he's just going to keep getting better.
I picked up food here at a nearby place not too far ahead of the show. And it's a place where you can either go on a bowl, excuse me, or the burrito. I picked the bowl. I didn't look till I came back to the station. It turned out it was the burrito. I was too close to the show to have time to go back. Bill Guerin handles this out. What does Bill Guerin do in this scenario?
I just keep it.
You just roll with the punches.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and then they could give you any food and you're fine with it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Dave,
I don't return.
Soft.
No, I don't send stuff back. I don't return stuff. Like,
wow.
Food. Yeah, I mean, if it's bad, like, or if it's just, like, not what you're. And you're there, you're sitting. But, no, I really don't. I don't.
Okay. I know we share.
Just dump the stuff. Just open the burrito and put it on a plate.
Yeah. I could.
Just eat the insides.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't realize you were so compliant. I mean, geez. I mean, I'm gonna find out where you're eating tonight and say when he orders steak, just bring him lobster.
I got so mad the other day because I checked into a hotel. I had a meeting at, you know, mid-afternoon, but I checked in and I ordered. So I didn't have time to go out and get something. So I ordered some room service for lunch.
La-di-da.
And it was about an hour that's gone by and it's not there. So I called down and I'm like, you know, is this food coming up? The lady was like, "Oh no, we didn't put it in the computer, so we can bring it." I'm like, "No, that doesn't do me any good. I have a meeting in like 20 minutes." So, I'm like, "She's like, can we offer you like, you know, credit towards your, you know, room service dinner or something?" I said, "Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah,
I'll take that." Yeah. So I had room service for dinner that night, and I got the credit, but I was.
Yeah,
I was mad because I was starving.
Dave,
I get angry.
Yeah, what
you
do you think?
Can't go into that meeting hangry.
I mean,
you can't do it.
And then he ordered oyster, steak,
good.
Lobster,
you
champagne. Should've. You know, will you send wine?
I got a burger. No, you don't send wine back. It's not. You don't send wine back if you don't like it. Time you send it. No, that's not what it's for. You pick the bottle. You had them open it. You try it. You drink it. The only way you send it back is if it's bad.
So when they come over, they pour the little bit and then give you the glass. They think they're only having you put the nose in there, swirl it around, take a taste. For you to say it's gone bad as opposed to I don't like the taste?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's not. This is not a trial run for you.
I think it should be.
No, you don't get a flight and just you know sample every and send it back. No, the only time you send it back is if it's spoiled.
Yeah, it'd be good if you could do that with all your meals, right? Like you know, you get a burger, you have a bite of it. Not quite. So, try it again.
The scary thing is. There are some jerks out there that do that.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And I will not break bread with those people.
One last thing, I come in today and I have some chili. I have some chili.
Nice.
And I have some crackers to go with it. And I know on Monday when I was in here, it was in a bag. Okay, I put it in a bag. I come in today, and the chilling crackers are no longer in the bag. They're just in the fridge. What are your thoughts on that?
Wait a second. Somebody took them out of the bag?
Yes, took them out of the bag and threw my bag out.
Why would they do that?
Why would they? Dave, so, you work here. Tell me, were you the one who did it, Harrigan?
First of all, keep your hands off.
Yeah, my food.
My food.
Yeah.
And my bag.
And my bag.
Somebody really needed a bag.
I mean, seriously.
That's so weird.
Were they robbing a bank? I looked in there today, and I'm like.
Whoever did that, you know who you are. You are weird.
Yeah.
That is just weird.
Well, we used to have a guy who worked here.
Give Chad his bag back.
Yeah, give me my bag back right now. I'm not talking.
That's so bizarre.
We used to have a guy who worked here, Kyle Sheely, if you're listening, where he would determine on his own if the food was in the fridge too long. And he would eat it. And one time it was in there like, I just had brought it for lunch. And I'm in here doing my show. And I come back and I'm like, where's my food? And Sheely goes, oh, I thought that had been there for a couple days. I go, first of all, it's my food. And no, it hadn't been here for a couple days. He pointed himself like the calendar of the fridge.
That's awesome. Yeah. You guys got to set up a video camera on that. Because
we do.
I love those stories of people stealing other people's food.
Yeah, it's
But I don't want anybody else's food. Like that's I don't know.
Dave, do you want anybody else's food?
No, I'm good with my own.
Yeah. What do you think about shared condiments? You know, should our fridge have like I don't know mustard,
yes.
hot sauce?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I think you know what? I think it takes somebody to step up and just do it for the group.
Dave.
What's it going to cost you, $12?
Dave, why don't you become that person?
Give me the company credit card and I will.
Okay.
I'll buy you guys condiments. My God, don't be so cheap.
Okay. I know where you work. I have a general idea where you live. It's kind of on the way. Let's go. I'll send you the address.
You have your own show. Which means people in there like look up to you. They think you're something cool. Like,
okay, wait, are you backpedaling now from buying the condiments? It sounds like you're backpedaling already.
No. I'll buy them. But I'm saying you should step up at some point in time. You have your own show there.
Yeah,
they're
stealing my bag and they're stealing my lunch. What does that tell you about my credibility?
Stealing your bag is a weird thing.
Yeah.
But I think a nice thing. From Chad Hartman, who has his own show, who's been on the radio, he's been on TV forever, all this stuff. Why wouldn't you just go out and buy the group condiments?
I prefer when you said you're going to buy it. How about this?
I will.
Okay.
I will.
Okay.
Because I am not a cheap like you.
Okay. On that note, condiment guy, we'll talk soon. See ya.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Bill Guerin on CCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.